everybody. Welcome to the podcast. This podcast was recommended by my student Hannah, so thank you. Today we're going to talk about generational clash or generation gap. So let's define generation first. A generation is a group defined by shared formative experiences, historical events, economic context, and technologies. All of these shape our attitude and norms. When we say generational clash, we talk about a tension. Clash is a tension or a conflict. So generation clash is a recurring tension or conflicts between cohorts rooted in different values, expectations, communication styles, in life situations. Generational clash can be interpersonal, related to family, institutional, in the workplace, or cultural, like media. And finally, could be also political, policy preferences. I know most of you had a conversation with your kids, a conversation with your parent, about the way things should be done. It could be the way you dress, the way you communicate. So language, culture, habits, all of those are generational, right? What you prefer to wear, what you prefer to say is totally different from the newer generations or the older generations. And most of us in some ways always hear this phrase, the older generation used to be better. We used to be better at this from your parents, grandparents. And also you say it yourself. You say we used to be better. You always compare what you have versus what the newer generation has. And you assume that what you have is better. Carl Mannheim, one of the thinkers, said that generations are socially constructed. Something that is socially constructed, it is influenced by society. Society makes it. It is not built in. It's something that influenced and formed by society. Now, how does this generational clash forms? First of all, memory and nostalgia biases. Older adults recall their youth more positively, and they see young people as worse or fueling more panic. The adults see that life is changing and they feel more nostalgic about it. And naturally, they think that whoever is younger is making things worse. A language, things that used to be said in the past no longer are said now. Things are changing. So again, adults are always mad about change. Next thing is stereotyping and confirmation bias. Once a generation is labeled entitled, lazy, radical, our selective attention confirms that. By the way, when we say labeled, we mean named or called in English. The last thing that I want to talk about is in-group and out-group dynamics. People that are from a certain group always have a preference towards those that are inside than those that aren't. If I am from Generation Z and somebody else from Generation Y, I would instinctively want to hate on somebody that is from Generation Y or Alpha, right? I think that the things we did were the best, the life that we had was the best, but those that are outside of my group, outside my generation, are the worst. Now, let's talk about the social, economic, and the technological drives for generational clash. We'll start with economy. So over the years, there is going to be a decline in stable jobs. People will no longer find it easier to find jobs. As we get older, it gets more competitive. So finding jobs become more difficult. Also, housing affordability. I remember my parents used to tell me the housing prices in the past used to be way cheap, right? So if you have a 9-to-5 job, you can easily buy your own house. And now everything is expensive. So even if you work two jobs, it's very difficult for you to afford housing, especially in bigger cities. So in some way, older adults might not appreciate the constraints that they had. And the younger ones obviously complained that the older generations, they had it easy. The next drive is technology. Now, let's talk about technology drive. Obviously, the younger you are, the more immersed in technology you are. Older generations didn't have technology until they graduated high school, some maybe until universities, some until they got their first job, right? Now, the younger generation, they have their first phone at a very younger age, and they seem to know so much about technology, and that creates also some sort of like clash. So parents try to restrict the kids' access to technology because they had it later, and they want their kids to have it later, and they feel like that's going to be some sort of distraction. But their kids complain because every other kid has it, right? And it's everywhere since technology is everywhere, and it doesn't make sense that they shouldn't really use it, right? The last drive is media and social media in particular. In my generation, we used to have MSN, Facebook, right? These are the platform we grew up using. Now, as we lived on, people start to use Facebook. So we only go to Facebook to check if there is something very important that is announced, right? For a younger generation, there is TikTok, there is Discord, there is probably also Reddit for them, right? There are a lot of apps that sort of like helps. So social media in some way helps separate us and widen this gap between generations. So if I use Facebook, I'm considered old generation. And if I use Discord or TikTok, I'm considered a younger generation, right? And in some way, social media helps inflate this generational clash. Now, let's talk about the cultural linguistic media aspect of generational clash. If you think back, our language in some way has changed so much. I remember we used to send bare text, no emojis, and people would understand you much better, right? Now, every text that is sent, people are going to send an emoji with it or a reaction to it, right? So there is so much has changed the culture of GIFs and the abbreviations. We have more abbreviation now than we had before. Before it was, you have to write a full sentence to be understood. Now there are so many abbreviations, right? And almost for everything, there is an abbreviation. So things are changing so fast, and in language itself, we have slangs, we have new words, words that we didn't really use before, right? The word "int," right, to not help your team. This is a word that is created recently from just memes. So a lot of words have been created by the younger generation. The word "res," which means charisma or skill, is something created by the younger generation. I don't remember ever using that word. The word "skibbity," which means cool, it is used by younger generation. We didn't use that word before. The phrase "the ick," I have an ick, it means you have a feeling of disgust towards something, right? We didn't have that. And this is something new. The phrase "no cap," which means no lie or I'm serious. The abbreviation "sus," you're very sus, which means suspicious. There are a lot of words that have been created by the new generation, and adults have difficulty embracing those words. If you try to communicate with your kid and they use those words, you don't understand them. You don't make the effort to communicate with them and probably use them too, right? Memes also are, I think my generation, memes are my generation, but to older people, memes are nothing. They don't understand so much about memes. And I remember every time we want to communicate with somebody, we use memes. Memes are a form of communication. You want to communicate a feeling and a thought in just a picture. You don't need to write a paragraph to communicate something. What I noticed is that the older the generation, the more words they use to communicate something. And the younger generation, the less words they use. I feel like they say it's unnecessary. Why should we use this instead of making it shorter? They always try to find shortcuts to communicate something. Music, fashion, and rituals are also different from one generation to another. The music that my father likes is not the music that I like, or not what my nephew likes, right? It's totally different. Different style, the haircuts they used to have before are totally different from the haircuts we have now. Fashion, the clothes that my generation wore are totally different from younger or older generation. Someone from my generation would ridicule somebody from a younger generation. And something is true for someone from an older generation. They would laugh at us when they look at our clothing. So this exists everywhere. The conflict is everywhere. It is in the family, the workplace, policies, in politics, in education. So every time we talk about education with someone that is old, they say their education was the best. They were taught by this teacher, by that teacher, and their teachers, despite beating them, they were good teachers. Imagine these people were beaten, and then they still thought that education was better. They still thought that maybe they learned a lot more. Although, if you think about educational style, in the past, they had older methods of education. They didn't really encourage them to think critically. It was just memorizing, do that, making them ready for work. And I feel like our educational system has improved from before. But again, whenever you talk to someone that is old, they always say that their education was better and they learned more and they had more opportunities and they had better teachers and they had that, and that our teachers are not that competent and not as they used to have. Generation clash also occurs in the family. Once they are 20, they start thinking about marriage, right? In a younger generation, they wait it up. In younger generation, they wait until their 30s. It's what was normal before is no longer the norm. People don't care too much about marriage in my generation. And it is especially true for younger generation. Marriage is seen just as a trap and nobody wants to get married. It's too complicated, too much work. And people would rather focus on other things than to get married. Kids in older generation was seen as a bless and people had to have kids, right? Because it's part of life continuation. But in younger generation, kids are a trap, too much noise. Kids are a trap, too much noise, so much uncertainty, so much responsibility. So they'd rather shy away from that. They don't want that. Religion is different from one generation to the other. Older generation used to be more conservative. Younger generation are less so. They don't care too much about religion. They just happen to be born in a religious environment, but they don't care too much about religion. So let's talk about the harms and the benefits of generational clash. Let's talk about the harms first. It is harmful when it starts to be stereotypical, when we start stereotyping, assume things that the other generation do or has, right, that we don't have. It is also harmful when it fragments our society. We don't want to be separate. We have to be united. It is also harmful when we start to blame each other and we think the correct behavior is from our generation and not from the other generation. It is also harmful when we assume things are fixed and things don't change, right? Things do change over time. So we don't have to assume things will never change. Now, what are the benefits? It is beneficial in some way because it makes us creative. If this generation created this, our generation needs to create something new. We cannot just settle for something less. So we have to be innovative. Also, it is beneficial because it makes society new every time. We would be bored if we have the same thing for 2,000 years. Things have to change. If things are changing, that's beneficial for society and for us as well. We don't get bored. I know there is so much to talk about generation clash, but I don't want to keep the podcast going for 30 minutes or so. So I'm going to pause here. So thank you so much for listening. Bye.